Quitters never win and winners never quit, but survivors change the game.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you, as always, the most popular social media books and letting you know whether you are wasting your time or not. And let me tell you, we have a social media doozy for you today. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Casey. So today we are reading a very viral fantasy called The Game Gods Play by Abigail Owens. So basically, did you guys pronounce the main character's name Lyra or Lyra?
Lyra.
Lyra, I thought, yeah.
Lyra, okay. Main character Lyra is cursed by Zeus. So kind of, this is all very Greek mythology inspired, and the universe is where all the kind of ancient gods exist, but like certain cities and groups of people worship different ones. And so the main setting is San Francisco, and the main set of gods are the Greek gods. And it's set in modern day, but sort of as if, you know, the Greek gods were real. So the Greek gods are live in Olympus, but they, you know, come down and meddle in human lives every now and again. And so in modern day San Francisco, Lyra is kind of sucked into this annual game that the gods play using mortals in order to determine who will be king of the gods for like that period of reign. So it's sort of like, you know, it's a trials book, and the major kind of plot point are the trials. But there's a twist because Hades decides to participate this year. He almost never does. And so everyone's trying to figure why he chose to participate. And it doesn't technically have to be a fight to the death, but the trials are very dangerous. So people do die. So there's a lot of stakes to like winning. If you're the mortal who wins, you get to basically ask whatever you want from the gods and get it. So a lot of people really want to win. And yeah, the plot basically follows that competition.
Hunger Games meets Percy Jackson.
Yeah. You might be thinking this sounds like Percy Jackson or the Hunger Games. Well, it's sort of.
It is.
But what are two things I love?
Both of those things.
Trials and Shadow Daddies.
A Shadow Daddy?
Yep. We are reading Caitlin's mind right now. This was her happy place book.
Guys, this is going to go very poorly for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm guessing Caitlin has seen me and Catherine's Goodreads review.
Yeah. Caitlin was so distressed by my Goodreads review. She was like, no, I thought you would like it.
I was actually surprised by yours, Catherine.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure no one will be surprised by mine. But no,
actually, I was surprised it was as high as it was. But
yeah, same.
First... Do you guys have reviews from the internet?
Oh, yes, we do. And I'm just going to get mine out of the way because I know Casey has two and we may overlap on this one because it's a very popular one-star review from Goodreads. And it says, I want whatever y'all are smoking that contributed to you enjoying this because I am sober and I don't get it.
I did have that one on my list.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Okay, I still have two more. So they're both one stars. The first one, this will go down as one of the worst books I have ever read. I cannot comment any further, unfortunately, as I fear I will never stop complaining about how atrocious it actually was. And then my second one, Hades wears suspenders.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
One star.
Okay. Fun fact. On Amazon, there are no written one-star reviews. I looked. So here's a two-star Amazon review, and I'm just going to redo like the first sentence of it. I will admit that I bought this based on the cover being cool, and it was the most interesting part of the book.
I agree with that statement.
I'm gagged.
But I'm going to finish us on a high note because I knew you guys would savage it. So here's a 5-star. It's written in all caps and it says, nah, girl, you better have the next book finished by tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
It is quite the cliffhanger.
It is a cliffhanger. But, you know, overall, you know, very popular. Goodreads rating is 4.2 out of 5, and the Amazon rating is 4.5 out of 5.
The Caitlin's of the world.
I know. I was like, so more people agree with Caitlin than me. Pretty cool.
Hey, we have a type, okay? There's a formula to appease a large amount of romanticy readers, and this is it.
Yeah, and it worked, but not on everyone. So, do you guys, are you ready to get into your star ratings?
Yeah, just start from the bottom.
Start from the bottom.
Yeah, why not?
Well, that's
okay.
That's two of us.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go first. I have to hear what you guys are going to say.
So you can rebuttal.
No, I'll save that for the actual part.
Okay. Catherine, do you want to go first or should I?
I can go first. My cat was slamming his automatic feeder down next to me, so I'm just monitoring that situation. But this book, I gave it 3 stars. I will say, I thought I would enjoy it more. I bought the book because the cover, and then I had the sprayed edges version. So I was like, this is so cool looking, right up my alley. Love Percy Jackson. The Hunger Games was one of my favorite books, but I couldn't stand the main character. And I found her dialogue cringy, and I liked the world and I liked the myth and I kind of liked the crucible aspect of it. It feels long for this book, and I don't know. It's just, I couldn't totally put my finger on why I was not liking it as much, but it just felt not deep enough. It felt very skin, like surface level for a 600 page book. Like, I wanted to know more about the characters. They were very two dimensional. And I was maybe hoping for a different ending where it was more SJM, like all of the stars aligning and that like little details at the beginning come out at the end. Maybe I'm way too critical of this book and I'm thinking way too much in SJM land and needing like all of these things to happen now because she's ruined me for books. But
you are
fair. But I needed more. I needed more depth to the characters and I needed more depth to their conversations. And just in general, for a 600 page book, if you're going to make me read 600 pages, I need more.
Yeah, I agree with most of those comments. I mean, I think I agree with all of them. And yes, Caitlin already wants to respond.
I was just going to say, I agree with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you're a fan of Hunger Games, Katniss sucks, okay?
Oh, I agree.
That can't be your criticism.
Well, no, I think it can be your criticism because Katniss sucks. But for my teenage, like 12-year-old mind, she's fine.
Right.
So this book is geared towards adults. Adults require a little bit more than a 12-year-old.
Casey, go.
Yeah. She served a YA main character in an adult novel. Let's just say it. I agree. I also gave it 3 stars. What saves this book is the world. What kills it are the characters. I hated the main character. I thought she was super cringe. I thought that the whole book's logic of like, because something happens and then every book, the author like imagines what will happen next. The series of events between like something happening and then the decisions every character made in response to whatever happened felt deeply cringe and unbelievable to me at like almost every scene of the book. And the romance was like super disappointing. Like, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Caitlin, I know I'm really going in. This is my least favorite reimagining of Hades I have ever read. I found it so lackluster and vanilla. And I did not believe that he would fall in love with the main character. There were just absolutely no sparks or chemistry between them. And I was really disappointed with the plot twists at the end. I thought they were just like lame, too convenient. The ending was trying too hard to be cheesy. I really felt like, this is how I would describe the main character, is they put a rom-com novel main character in a fantasy adventure. And I actually think in some plots and imaginings of that, that could work. I think a Hades romance Hunger Games novel is like maybe not the one.
No.
I think if they had chosen like Hermes or one of these like playful gods to be the main love interest, it actually could have worked. But this one, I found the tone and the characters did not ever match. And it was just, and I want to also second what Catherine said about the characters being two-dimensional. The other contestants were actually a huge highlight of the book for me, and I wanted more from them, and I felt like there could have been a lot more done with them. But, like, I made the same calculation Catherine did. I felt like it never got there. And for a book that was so long, I would have expected there to just be more.
Also, the other gods. I felt like we didn't get depth from the other gods, and that's where I read god fantasy for. It's like, I want to know the all-powerful figures.
Okay, my turn. If you're still here, along with the rest of the world, a lot of these criticisms are valid. Do I care? No, I gave it 5 stars.
It tricked Caitlin. She's fine with all of it.
If you're not new here, you know that if you give me a good Trials Shadow Daddy kind of book, I will ignore all the plot holes and just roll with it. I literally don't care. The book is too long. The characters aren't the greatest. I did like Hades, though. So interesting. The character I didn't get was Boone. I do wish there were more of the other contestants and gods, but there's a book too. So I don't know. I liked how it was trying to portray Hades as the good guy, sort of the secret good guy, which I know has been attempted before.
It gave watered down Reese.
Yeah.
It did. But I will grab at anything that could get me even close to Reese again for the first time.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to do a Hades interpretation, he is the god of the underworld and of like this very dark landscape. And then making him a vanilla shadow daddy feels wrong to me.
I thought it was fun that he was different than usual, but
he's quirky.
Like I said, I ignored everything because I just really liked it. Also, I read it on Kindle Unlimited, and then the physical copy was so pretty that I bought it because I will be buying the next book, too.
God. Actually, I'm not sure you ever actually said that your star rating.
I said 5. Did I? 5 stars. I said I ignored it and gave it 5 stars anyway. Realistically, probably closer to a 4, but I liked it enough that that's just me ignoring all other things.
I wish I could ignore all other things.
I really hoped Catherine would at least give this a 4, so.
Yeah, disappointing show.
But, like I said, there were no 1-star reviews on Amazon. And we read the overall ones. So if you're listening, yes, we're going to be critical because we always are. But most of the people like it because it's just candy. It's fantasy candy.
It's for a niche audience, and that audience will very much so enjoy
it. It's not a niche audience. It's a large audience.
It's a niche large audience.
Yeah.
It is for uncritical SJM and Rebecca Yarros fans.
And yes, Percy Jackson that grew up and now want a little more spice to their Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a larger audience than you would guess.
No, I 10 out of 10 would agree with
not
that.
Not niche.
But it is niche. Like, that's a very specific subset of people. There's a lot of them, but it's very specific.
It's most like almost 30-year-old women.
Okay. We don't need to get into the semantics of niche and what's not niche. The point is, there is definitely an audience for this book. It makes sense to me why so many people liked it. I feel like if you are that type of reader, this probably fulfilled what you wanted. However, obviously, there's plenty of critiques if you should like to go down that route. But anyway, we should get into our non-spoiler discussion. So is this book more plot or character driven?
Honey, this character couldn't drive a plot. It's a plot driven book.
It's plot because it's Trials. Yeah, it's not the strongest main character. Okay, she's not.
Yeah. All right. I agree with both of your responses there. I'm so gagged. I feel like Catherine is like never just the sassy one. So I'm just like really living.
No, and she's never savaged a dark romantasy shadow daddy book.
There is a first time for everything. He wasn't a shadow daddy, though. He was like just on the outside a shadow daddy, but like this soft, mushy dude on the inside. I'm like, no, be a shadow daddy.
I'm so glad you thought you were so in this type that you bought the book physically.
Yeah. It's very pretty on my bookshelf. So I'm not mad I bought it, because I would have had to wait at the library for 24 weeks and your girl was not going to do that. So I'm not mad I bought it, but it's not my favorite book.
Okay. Well, have you read other books by the author?
I don't think any of us have.
I've never heard of Abigail Owens before.
I actually have.
Really?
Yeah. My aunt, I think, has met her. I think she's been at a local like writers conference here in Kansas City. I think she might be somewhere from the area. And I have heard of The Liar's Crown, which is one of her, the first in one of her series. I've just never read about her, read her. So. I don't know. I maybe would read more of her, but she's known for super spicy adult paranormal romance.
That tracks.
Yeah. Though define super spicy.
Yeah, not that spicy.
There you go. She currently resides in Austin, Texas.
Oh, hey.
Catherine, you can go egg her house.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm kidding.
My aunt speaks highly of her, I think, from hearing her on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt she's an amazing human, good writer. Not the kind of writing I want to see, though.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay, what about pacing? We've already kind of critiqued the pacing of the book.
It's not excellent.
No.
Yeah. To me, the time in between the trials felt really disjointed. And there's several different locations, and I found myself getting confused about where they were at some points. Also, like, what they do with their free time just seems like this really big, unutilized part of the book that could have been spent better, because it feels like there's like a ton of action during the trials, which I actually really enjoyed the trials, but there's like such acute action and then just a total like gap until the next trial. And I think that just makes the book feel like not cohesive. It didn't take me, compared to the size, I think it took me a week to read, which is like not horrible, but.
Yeah, it only took me a few days to read, I think, just because, like you said, the trials I gobbled up. Like, I was very invested, very interested, because it was fast paced, action packed. And I liked some of the wittiness of the trials. Like, the first one I really liked, because I thought that was very, very interesting. And especially the whole interference of the gods is not allowed, but it's not really that discouraged because the punishment doesn't meet the crime. So that's where I wish I could have seen the gods a little bit more. Like, I'm very curious about Athena. I'm very curious about Zeus and what his motivations were. And I'm hoping maybe I might read book two just to figure out what the fuck's going on. And I
do think there's a lot of assumed knowledge here.
Yeah.
I think it assumes you're a Percy Jackson kid and know about the Greek gods.
Yes, but I don't think you should have an assumption.
I understand.
But yeah, it's a fast-paced some parts of book.
I agree with a lot of the criticism. I read this in like 4 days. I can blow through fantasy on a Kindle. I do agree the pace was like very up and down, especially in between trials. I do remember at one point sitting there going, wait, do we have to go through all 12 trials?
Yeah.
Because there's one per god. It's a lot. But I did like the trials. I thought they were different than what we've seen in other books.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought the concept alone was cool. And like you said, the world was cool. So really, yeah, I was just along to see where it went. The pacing could have been better, and it is certainly too long.
I mean, yeah, the world was cool. I'll give her that. World building could have used a little bit more, but I liked the world in general.
And I did like the trials. I agree that they were creative.
Yes. My hope is that, which it shouldn't rely on this, but that we get more in book two. Mm-hmm. Book one should be able to stand on its own, but.
Right. I will say this point. Okay, so one of the negative reviews that I read, it said, wow, she just really chose to ignore half of the Greek mythology. And that's part of why I think she asks you to assume too much, is because the actual like Greek lore of these gods is like super deep, complex, complicated. Like, you know, if we've read a lot of like Medusa interpretations, in which case Poseidon rapes Medusa, and it just feels like the gods don't interact based upon that history.
No, and she assumes, you know, the Titans and that lore about them swallowing the gods. She's like barely references it. So I do understand if you do not read other Greek myth books, you're probably lost.
Right. And it's also just like, where's the lore? You know,
they felt kind of comical at times. Some of the gods felt like Poseidon specifically felt like a comedy trope of Poseidon. And I was kind of like, these are immortal beings that have created travesties across all of the continents, technically, if you were to follow Greek myths. And I feel like they should be a little less jokey in comedy and a little more hardened and intense.
Yes.
I don't know about that, but.
And also just like behave like they have some actual beef with each other. I'm like, half of y'all have fucked and like murders each other's kids and like attacked mortals that like either of you liked, and like none of that is showing up.
No, and I think it could have been interesting if she had gone, if the gods had been like, oh no, people have the myth wrong, like here's how it went down. Right. Like, you could take liberty with that if you wanted, but
right.
Since we're really dying to get in discussion, let's finish this. Would you watch a movie or TV show about this book?
50-50.
Maybe.
It would really depend on who was producing it. And
that's like always our answer.
I know. Yeah. Well, but specifically this one, because I feel like you could go a very bad path for this and make it too youth-like.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they hire a bunch of like teeny bopper hot people actors, I know it's going to be bad. Right. Yeah. Like, if they just make it like they did to Percy Jackson and hire a bunch of hot adults to just like make everything super Hollywood, I just know it's gonna be a bad movie. So
yeah, if they do the Disney and cast Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hermes.
Yeah.
Tragic, guys. Bro. Tragic.
Yeah. No,
but yeah, if you put some like hot adults in here and you really played up the trials part, could be really entertaining.
Yeah
I'm more gladiator-esque.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that brings us the best part of any episode. What are y'all's Busy Girl ratings?
I mean, I would honestly give it a 4. I think it's a pretty fast read if you're really invested in romanticy. And if you have a basis and a nerdiness that loves Greek mythology, like, I know so many people that are diehard Percy Jackson fans because they read it when they were 8. And it's always stayed on their bookshelf since. Like, you will blow through this book. Whether or not you enjoy it, up to you. Depends on what you like to see in your romanticy books. So I think it is, for being almost, I think it says 509 pages, but it felt like 600 pages. For being so long, the pacing, it gives it, I can bump it up a star. It's a 4.
I will go next because I second most of what Catherine said. It's not perfect. The pacing is not perfect. Not everybody's going to like it, but if this is the kind of easy to read romanticy you like, then it's not going to be a lot of work.
So I'll say on my Kindle, this book is 630 pages. So, you know, long, but
it really doesn't, most of the time feel it was that long.
It's 509 hardback, so that would be well.
I am going back and forth between a 3 and a 4. It was easy to read, and I do think I blew through it faster than I would have expected. However, I'm trying to decide if I would recommend a book with this main character. And that's the part that I'm kind of stuck on.
Guys, we've read Feyre. We've read Katniss. They all suck.
This one is worse.
And 100% worse.
I think that it's partly because there's not a supporting cast that like makes them more lovable. But I don't know. Fuck it. I'll just give it a 4.
Wow.
I'll join the gang.
Okay.
Peer pressure.
Well, vastly different opinions in one area and all agree on another. There you go.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like we've already had half the discussion in the non-spoiler section, but let's get to the discussion in the spoiler section. So we all mentioned something we liked. We can agree on is the world that it was set in. And like Casey said, it is modern day, but it as if all pantheons of gods exist and are worshipped by different regions and people. You know, the Celtic gods exist, the Greek gods exist, the Christian god exists. The people of San Francisco happen to mostly worship the Greek gods, and Zeus is the patron saint of the city. It's an interesting concept, and I hope in future books it'll bring in other pantheons of gods. But what do you think about this kind of modern day setting with all these kind of old retired gods?
I think it brings in an interesting like question in your mind of just like what would happen if you knew gods were real and you saw them and you could touch them, you could feel them. So you have to pray to them because like would be ill advised not to because vengeful gods. So it was very interesting in that sense where you see like where the Crucible characters are coming from. They're coming from all over the globe from different pantheons and patron gods. And I did like the lore idea that the gods fought a really bitter battle previously that destroyed Olympus. And so that's why they had created the Crucible to stop them from fighting each other and to stop them from destroying the world with their powers, essentially. So I thought that was an interesting way to bring in the Crucible. And so I liked the idea of the Crucible in that sense, where it's just like to stop all out war and mutually assured destruction, we made puppets of humans. Do our bidding for us and battle for us because they couldn't possibly hurt the world like we hurt the world.
And that fits the Greek god cruelty we're used to seeing.
Yes. Yeah. I like that Zeus is a dick in every single book. I'm like, thank God. We need to rewrite the history that Zeus is this almighty king and great. Nah, he's an asshole.
Yeah, everyone hates him. Yeah, no, I really liked it. I am normally like anti modern settings for fantasy books, and this one is actually one of the only ones that I liked. I just felt like it didn't feel like weirdly forced or mismatched. I feel like a lot of times there's kind of a disconnect in like making the history all make sense. But this one felt real to me. I liked that all the gods were real, and it just kind of like depended on, you know, how you were raised, what spoke to you, whatever, where you live. I thought that was kind of a unique way of like just making it all make sense. And I kind of liked their level of interference with humans. It felt like authentic to like the lore of the Greek gods, but also kind of allowed humanity to like thrive a little bit more on its own, which, you know, explains like modern society. So, yeah, I thought it was good.
Yep, I agree with everything you guys said. It's a really interesting concept and very interesting that these people choose a god and a pantheon to worship. And Lyra, our main character, she is a thief. So her patron god is Hermes. So she is a member of this order of thieves, and she is cursed by Zeus to be unlovable. We all mentioned Lyra is not the strongest main character, but let's talk about her.
What a stupid bitch.
Oh my God.
I I'm kidding. I mean,
I'm so happy we do video now because Catherine's face there was great.
I mean, that's harsh. I'm not gonna lie, that is harsh.
If you read like fantasy and romance genre fiction, this genre will convince you that only two types of characters exist in the entire world. One of them is Katniss, and the other one is a dumb, bumbling, sassy romance character. And I'm tired of them both. There's more than one type of person. Stop writing them. Stop serving up these characters as if this is the only kind of character that exists.
Let's be clear, type of women.
Yeah, type of female character. I found her annoying. She was like so grotesquely naive and just like lovey and just like, oh, we're all gonna work together and save everybody. And I was just like, girl, shut up. Also, one of my big triggers is becoming characters that are like supposed to be so smart. And then I feel like we're just constantly told that they're smart and never shown that they're smart. And I just don't really think that she ever does. I think she does brave things in the book. I don't think she ever really does smart things.
No.
And yeah, I thought her curse was also stupid and like was barely important until the very end. I also thought, why give her an upbringing among thieves if she didn't actually develop any skills that thieves develop? Like, she never, because she's actually a clerk and not a thief. And so I was like, okay, so you proposed a much cooler character than you delivered. That's a bad idea. Anyway, that's my rant.
So I thought, I'm going to just say one thing and then Caitlin can react to it. She reminded me of a kicked golden retriever.
Yep.
Because she was on this unlovable curse, I agree, was only convenient till the end. And it only made her like, I feel like if you're going to give her a curse, you have to harden a person. And that should make them more nihilistic about the world. That should make them hurt a bit more. Hers just made her more empathetic to humans.
Whiny.
And like, woe is me. And like, but also just like willing to just do anything for anyone. And I'm like, girl, put some realism in this character. Like, seriously, she is too optimistic about these things. So she reminded me of a kicked golden retriever.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm critical, but not quite as critical. I read her more as she got put in this band of misfits and still couldn't find a place to fit in. And her only purpose was to just exist to the next day. And that's why she was working with people. And that's why she just was going with things. I never saw her as like a golden retriever or an optimist in any way. I thought she was kind of like depressed. I don't know. I mean, I still think she's like kind of a weak main character, but I just guess I got a different vibe that made me dislike her from the vibe that made you dislike her. I mean,
maybe optimism's the wrong word, but she was very, for her being so critical of the gods and the god structure, I felt like a lot of her reactions were like, let's be kumbaya about it and work together. And I was like,
I did not get that vibe whatsoever. Okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay.
I just got to survive anyway I can.
Yeah, I got what Catherine's getting, where it just felt like she was constantly like, no, everybody, let's work together. Just like, god damn, oh my god, working so hard to make a contest sometimes to the death be a Disney movie.
No, she was often like, we can do this together, you can go do your own thing, I don't care, but I'm gonna be alive. That's what she said. Anyway, agree to disagree on that topic, but let's talk about the Crucible. We all mentioned we did like the concept of the Crucible and all of the different tests they had to go through. We mentioned the other gods and how we would have liked more of them. But let's talk about the gods and their tasks.
I like the idea of a tailored labor, because I like the idea that they brought in the Hercules labors, that that was kind of what they were modeled off of, even though like Hercules labors didn't have to do with the gods. They were just random tasks that he was sent to redeem himself, which is a very dark story, but it didn't get into it at all when in this book. I just know it. I like the idea that the gods pick their thing. It did feel kind of like, and ladies and gentlemen, this is showbiz. Like, it felt very like show-esque at times, because some of the gods were game show caricatures of themselves, which I think that's where I had the disconnect. I was like, this is a brutal to the death games, but you're acting like game show hosts. Like, it felt
they
very-
they don't care about the people. That's the vibe I got, is they didn't care. So they were just like, yeah, whatever.
And I did get that vibe. I will say that. I did get that vibe. I wasn't mad at it, but it also felt so disjointed that I was kind of like, what is this book? Because it's like, we have this rom-com centric main character, she's competing in a deadly game show essentially, and then you have a dark shadow daddy who's not really that dark. Like, it all felt a little disjointed and chaotic for what the book was about.
It also, okay, I will give you, they talk about how this is a worldwide event where people are waiting to see who comes out or not. It would have been interesting if it was broadcast like the Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
But they like dance around it being a public event and just like don't quite make it that.
And apparently this is the first time that they've sent who's dead back, like that they've told them the death toll during it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the matches. I liked that they were all very different. I can tell the author put a lot of work into like making them all reflect the god who, you know, created it. I did, however, I just wished we had gotten a little more interaction between the characters during the events themselves. And I also wish that the way they got through them felt a little bit more inventive. Also, the fact that they get these gifts for competing, these gifts from their gods, I thought was super cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of like the gifts they got were super interesting, but also just didn't feel super well fleshed out. Like, they come up in sort of convenient moments when like people are using them, but I didn't feel like there was any real tension between like, oh, this person has this and they're gonna win. Like, I don't know. I just felt like, because Lyra doesn't actually, how am I gonna say this? Even when Lyra seems to want to win, it doesn't seem like she wants to win that bad. And I think that takes a lot of the tension out of the games, because she's just trying to survive, which is totally fair. But then there's like way less stakes to the games, because you're not really worried about winning them. You're really only worried about like who lives and who dies. And that was kind of the vibe from the other characters as well. There's really only one character, like Dex, who is like, you know, evil and like behaves horribly throughout the whole thing. But he's really the only character who like behaves like he gives a shit about winning. And that's kind of crazy to me. That just like, they're just, I think she was trying to create like an alternate vision of what like these kind of trials could look like. But instead, I feel like she actually just took a lot of the stakes out of her own novel. Sorry, there's a cat who's being very distracting. Caitlin, make some noise so people can see.
Okay, sorry. My cat has on a Christmas sweater I got her, and it has like antlers. Oh, Millie.
Oh.
Meet Millie. I'm sorry. I had it on mute because I was trying not to be distracting, but...
Oh my gosh, can you put her little hood on?
She hates it. Hey, psst, psst. Hey, sit up so they can see you. Stop highlighting stuff. Okay, well, it's on, but
well,
she's just gonna sit on the computer instead.
Anyway,
well, before the Millie distraction, I 100% agree with you. Yeah, I liked the games themselves, and I do think that Lyra didn't have any motivation to actually win the games until Boone's death. And that was the only thing that was getting her forward. But it almost, like, Boone was kind of like a weird character in general, because they obviously don't have romantic feelings for each other because, like, he's not interested and she was kind of more infatuated with the idea of him because he was nice to her, which is kind of like sad to think about. And then his death is tragic. Like, I will say I felt sad for her because that's a very brutal way to die. And it wasn't necessary. Like, that Hephaestus's trial felt so unnecessarily bad, which kind of makes sense for the character itself. And then that was really only her motivation going forward. I thought it was interesting that they brought in that one of the contestants got like a prophecy boon from the first trial, and she saw a prophecy in which Hades destroys the world if he becomes king. That brought those like gifts into play more, where it's just like, especially the first gifts that they're given by their specific god. I thought those were really interesting.
And it was the only one that really ended up having significant effect because they were like, we can't let you win.
Yeah. So I thought there were some that were more fleshed out than others. And yes, I do wish that some of them played more into the factors of the games. I think they played into like the last trial a lot more because at that point they're just trying to get through and survive. And then there was some unintended consequences of said gifts. They weren't actually gifts at times.
Yeah. Okay. So what about, what was your favorite / least favorite goddess? Okay, I will start. I love the depiction of Aphrodite in this. Yes.
I was going to say Addie is the best one.
Yes, I have long felt that Aphrodite has been shafted in depictions of her, like, because she's actually, like, super powerful, and because she's a woman and her power is about, like, sensuality, that, like, people are very dismissive of that. But, like, how many books are there about the power of love, right? Like, love can make you do anything. And so I have really wanted more reimaginings of Aphrodite and different ways of depicting her, because I feel like people often fall into the, you know, fairly sexist depictions of her as just like a ditzy, head empty, you know, hedonistic, all about love and sex god. So I really liked the way that she was portrayed in this book, and that was one of my favorite parts.
Well, she was also a lot more in the book because she was closer with Hades. And I thought she was.
Right. I also liked that she was kind of Hades, like, bestie. I don't know. Like, of the gods. It was very interesting.
Well, because when you think about it, love and death go together pretty well, unfortunately, because they're direct polar opposites. And, like, when your loved one dies, it can be very tragic. And I liked that she had the ability to force you into desires she wanted, and then Hades had to tell her, like, cover your ears if she says this phrase. I thought that was very interesting because it shows you how powerful she truly is, because she could just say that to anyone and suddenly everyone's in like a 50 person orgy. Like, she literally has the power to make you do whatever she wants.
So Hades brings Lyra into the games. What did you think about the kind of beginning where he first kind of sucks her into all this? And then later we find out more and more about his motivations for actually participating in the Crucible.
It went like totally sideways from why I thought he picked her. I really thought he just found her screwing around with Zeus's temple and said, let's cause some chaos. Like, at first, he knew there was going to be something different, not what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I think the high stakes Persephone is stuck in Tartarus was interesting. And also the fact that him and Persephone were more like a brother-sisterly relationship than a romantic one was interesting, and how, you know, she assumed it was the other way around because that's what the myth is. Do you think it was an interesting choice? I don't think it really explained whether he was looking at her ahead of time or whether he just picked her in that moment. Because when you look at his greater plan, you would think he would have thought it out beyond just picking the random girl he ran into, you know? So I do wish I had kind of explained that part of Hades' choice. But I don't know. I liked the weird tension. I think the secrets added, it took a while to get to them, I think it added some stakes in the end. Gave Lyra some depth finally, and gave Hades some depth finally, but that was literally at the end.
Yeah, I've always liked Hades as a character in general, because of where he resides, he's very cut off from the rest of Olympus. So he doesn't have as many like horrible stories around him and surrounding his existence. Like, he doesn't have like a shit ton of illegitimate children. He doesn't have like all these rape allegations like Zeus does, or like playing with human emotions. He's more of like this figure that you see at the end of your life, and he just controls the flow of death and where you go, or at least the world in which you go. And I think that's always been super interesting. I also, I like the idea of like them being brother sister. I don't know if it totally explains the myth of how Persephone got there, because in the myth, he traps her there with a pomegranate seed because she eats part of the underworld. And because of that, 6 months out of the year, which is fall and winter, she has to reside in the underworld. And then when spring comes, that's because she's coming up to land. So I don't know if it totally explained why she didn't feel trapped by it, or maybe that was just Demeter twisting the story. But I did like that it wasn't romantic. I think that kind of tracks with Hades's character almost, and what we've seen from the myths. I'm curious to see how it goes forward based off of the ending, but it makes sense for his character. Like, a brother would try desperately to save a sister, even if it could cause calamity to the world. Now that Lyra is sucked into Tartarus, and I think Persephone got out, so
I don't know that she did.
Oh, if she didn't, then both of them are in Tartarus. So that's,
I think,
not a
that's
good sign.
I think we're gonna get a Persephone book next.
Okay. Yeah, that was my impression as well.
Why is Boone still here? I don't know. But
yeah. Boone, the character who never just gets out of the book. Yeah.
No. Boone just like was nice to this girl and accidentally got in on this whole thing.
Yeah, he's kind of tragic because it's just kind of like he got sucked up into this bullshit.
Yeah. Okay, so actually the first thing I'm going to say, because I feel like for some reason we haven't talked about this enough yet, I did not understand Boone and her connection. Like, no. I think
I don't understand Boone at all.
Yeah, and what ultimately happens where they just like, he's just so into like fighting for her and protecting her. It just like does not match with the way their relationship is described in the earlier part of the book at all.
Like, they barely talk to each other.
And I could see it if they, you know, she had a crush on him, obviously. But if he saw her as like a little sister, that would have made sense.
You could have simply worked in that Aphrodite told him to be that way.
Right. Or something, because it just felt so weird. And even Lyra thinks it's weird. And then they just never address
that. And she's like, I will not stop until he's a god. And I was like, but why?
Yeah. And then like makes her whole like crucible experience about like resuscitating him. It was just bizarre to me. Also, so I really did not like what they did with Persephone and Hades. I really like the lore, and I think that's like a really rich piece of lore that you can reinterpret, is the romance between Hades and Persephone. And I thought the way the book interpreted it was like the easiest, most like simple, convenient way. And I would have loved it if they were romantically involved and had this like passionate love affair that became like misunderstood by the rest of humanity. And then he lost her because she had been dead for like 100 years, like, you know, in the way they tell it in the book.
But question, then it would become love triangle, and you hate that trope.
Well, I wanted her to stay dead. I did not want her to be alive.
I think it's almost, it adds a different facet to Hades as a character, because she is not just staying in the underworld because she loves him as like a lover. She genuinely enjoys his company and the underworld, which makes you see like this other side. So I'm not like mad that they changed that kind of common interpretation.
I mean, I think that there are other characters in the book who do the same thing, like the dog and then the guy who, does the boat. I forget their names, but
Chiron. Or not, Charon.
I felt like it.
Yeah.
Right. Because to me, the way they wrote it, I was like, I'm sorry, are we supposed to like assume that this like god who's been alive for like eternity is like a virgin or has never fallen in love or something? Like,
no.
It felt almost like immature and weird that he wouldn't have just been in love with Persephone and have had this like really great relationship. To me, that was like would have brought a lot of depth to him, that he had this like great, deep love that he lost. And that's tragic. And
yeah, but you know, then there was literally no point for Lyra to be invested in helping him if that was the case.
But if she's dead, then he can still move on. Like, they can still have a realm.
But then he's not in the crucible if she's dead.
Right. I mean, I was assuming. So this is how I read the book, is I assume.
I know. There's like, you could talk this in circles forever.
Right. So I assume Persephone was dead. And one of the reasons why Hades wanted to win is he wanted to avenge her death. So I assume that the other gods were like responsible in some fashion. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. My point
that
is.
That would have been interesting.
Yes.
That would have been interesting. Yes. I get where you're going now, because I thought you still wanted the same ending. And I was like, but then we'd have a love triangle, and you hate love triangles. But no. If you wanted to say that she is full dead and one of the other gods did it.
She's a god. How did she die?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which the whole time I was like, she's not dead. Like, she's a god.
Yes. It was like a huge plot hole the whole time. I was like, I'm sorry. How did she die? Like,
yeah, please explain to me how gods die, and then we can move forward. But
yeah, like if gods were fallible and like not totally immortal, that would have been interesting, because then one of the crucible contestants could totally have killed a god.
Yes. And then it's like this whole unexplored thing. Also, why did all the other gods believe that she was dead?
Yeah, that's a little,
he's gonna go down there and check.
But it was just like, but then that means you can kill a god. Like,
right. And it never explained that. And that was probably the one plot hole I had a hard time ignoring.
Right.
Okay. So we agree to change the ending.
So make it a different book. Yeah.
Okay. But in the end, he gives Lyra the underworld crown to save her life. He pulls a whole like Feyre under the mountain shit. So she's now the queen of the underworld, but he's king of the gods. And what did we think of that little aggressive, fast switcheroo of all the positions?
Yeah, it felt rushed for a book that Boone's was so alive long. Again. And Boone's alive again, which doesn't make sense. But literally
all
doesn't
the
make
players
sense.
Who have ever competed will get a Boone and live happily ever after.
Yeah. there was a little bit too much. Like, I get her being declared
Hades was a little too gracious.
Yes.
I agree. It was too convenient. It was rushed. They tried to fit too much in. Like, it just felt too good to be true. Like, this can either be a cutthroat, insane story of like ruthlessness and like the ill will of gods who can't understand the importance of human life, or it can be let's all hold hands and think kumbaya romance novel.
And right. If it had ended there and was billed as a romance, sure.
Right. And so I was just kind of like, I just rolled my eyes at the ending. I hate that she's like the god of the underworld now. I was just like, no. Like, why does she get to do that? That's crazy.
Well, she ain't, because she's in Tartarus.
Yeah.
True. Now she's in god prison.
I just think it's a little too convenient how you can transfer god powers and how you can transfer an entire kingdom to a person just by a crown. Like, that feels.
And that goes back into if gods can be killed, if gods can transfer powers, etc.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the whole time they sort of like tease that she's possibly a demigod, which I was waiting for the whole time. I thought
she could drink his blood and not die.
Yes. And she survived all these like crazy physical experiences that should have killed her.
Yeah. And she fell down the river Styx. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, when are we going to get into that? Like, was that not ever going to be important?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that in the whirlwind of everything at the end.
Yeah. And they never explain that her like thief prize that you get for like being a thief, and then you have this like special power that is attached to you, is one of Hades' axes.
They did. And
they explain it?
Yeah. They say it's his other axe, and he's like, I've been missing that for years. But they don't explain why.
Does she have his axe?
Because they're fated mates.
No.
I mean, it's going to be fated mates. Yes, you are correct. That is 100% what it's going to be. But it felt like there's a lot of question marks on her heritage. And I think that should have been explored more or answered more or given more of a cliffhanger at the end. It felt like it was just dropped off a cliff and we just ignored it and moved on.
Okay. At this point, I just thought of this, so I'm going to insert it into the conversation here, even though it's a total tangent. There was one part of Hades' character development that I thought was really good and actually made really good sense. And it's because, like, why is he the one god who's capable of, like, taking humans seriously and who values mortal life? And there's this part in the book where she's like, oh, like, of course you don't think that. You're the one who, like, is rules over them forever. So they're not just a blip in time to you because you're the one.
He has to judge them and sort them, and that weighs on his conscience.
Right. Like, you're the person who actually deals with mortals as if they're immortal. And that was the one thing I thought was really smart that she did, because it was an actual, like, satisfying explanation as to why Hades is this, like, much better person than the other gods.
I agree.
Yes. It was so smart to give Hades, like, he sees morality and he sees mortals all the time. That's all he does.
So the common thing I saw in reviews was that Red Tower books, published books, often need a little more editing. I think this book had so many awesome things, just, like, in the wrong order and with the wrong emphasis. Like I said, I ignored all of that. But, like, what we're talking about, all this stuff at the end was really interesting, but it was all at the end. Like, I feel like there are things you could have worked in to make this really complex and just created a better story.
I will say, I just thought of this about the ending and, like, how he gives a boon to everyone and he's producing, he's, like, proclaiming these radical things. I will say what was interesting is the gods' responses to those things. There was a lot of outrage and outcry. I think it makes for a more politically divisive setup for the next book. And I do like the politics of the gods. I've always loved a political book. And I hope that that is where they take this, where it's like the gods are not going to agree to these very liberal ideas about humanity and humans. And they're not going to go along with Hades's rule or plans. And even Aphrodite seemed very hesitant to have a king of the gods and his queen, the king of the underworld, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So the prophecy, we'll go back to that, is that Hades will destroy the world when he's king of the gods. My interpretation now is that he's going to destroy the world to get Lyra back. And he just happens to be king of the gods. Is that where your guys' minds were going?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I obviously think that somehow it's justified, or he doesn't actually destroy everything, or blah, blah, blah. Like, there's some twist, I'm sure, in, like, the prophecy. But basically, yes.
I think his two greatest loves, whether it be brotherly love or romantic love, are now trapped in a void world with his father, who's a known sociopath and psychopath. So he'll do pretty much about anything to save them, regardless of the consequences. And I think that does produce an interesting character arc when you have a lot on the line and you're willing to do pretty much anything to get it done.
Yeah.
Catherine has an interesting final question in here. If this world was real, would you A, ever participate in the Crucible? First of all, you don't get a choice in that, girlfriend. B, which gods would you make your patrons and your pantheon?
So ordinarily, I would say Athena, because she's still my favorite.
However, but not in this book.
No, in this book, she's terrible. So if I go,
Athena's a bitch in most retellings.
I actually think it's a grave injustice that they portray her that way, because she's also the god of wisdom. And I don't feel that, like, people who are wise are also bitchy assholes. But yes, that's me.
Especially the women. That's rude.
Yeah. So if I go based off the way, like, however, like, they're all written in this book, Artemis is, like, my second favorite god, and I really, really like her. She's not much in this book, but I would probably choose either her or Demeter, because I also feel like Demeter is, like, generally, like, underwritten and not given a lot of time. But of course, I mean, if I have to pick a third, it's Aphrodite.
I'm gonna go totally left. I'm going for the Celtic gods, man.
Nice.
My patron god is Freya with her chariot of cats, and she's just, like, the badass woman of Norse mythology. So,
love,
like,
that.
I guess not Celtic. Why did I say Celtic? Cats. Norse gods. I'm going Norse. Yeah. Freya. Cats.
That's so funny.
Pulling her chariot. Yes.
Yeah. I would really have to it would be a battle between the Greek and the Norse gods, because those are the ones I know the most about. So, I mean, Egyptian gods are interesting, but I don't know a lot about their lore. But if I had to choose a Greek god who would be a patron to, yeah, not in this book, Athena, but I've always been a pro Athena person because I read Annabeth Chase and I love Annabeth Chase.
Yeah, but her mom is a bitch in that story, too.
Yeah, but not to this level of bitchiness.
Yeah, no.
And I also think.
And we read Medusa's sisters.
I do think that Athena gets a bad rap because she is an extremely wise woman. And extremely wise women get bad raps. That's just what they get. But for this book, I would probably, choose Artemis for a woman, for a man. Maybe Poseidon, just because he's like kind of just like a fuckboy. Like, he's not as harmful as Zeus.
Okay, so I'll answer your question via Greek gods if we're playing that game. And I'd go Hephaestus.
Interesting.
Smart. He was one of the most interesting ones, right?
And if you read the second, this is not the reason why, but if you read the second, like the Roman Percy Jackson series that ends up tying into the Greek Percy Jackson series, Hephaestus is a really interesting god in that series. Made me more curious about him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good answer. I just could never have a patron be a man. So,
oh yeah.
Well, I said Freya, okay?
Hey, I said Artemis first, but if I'm forced to choose a man.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, I think that's it for our discussion today. Guys, please let us know what god you'd want to be your patron. And rate and review this podcast.
Maybe we'll start actually posting the questions and polls we talk about. Okay, book recommendations. I do want to do this because I actually have a really perfect one.
Ooh, do tell.
Okay, so there's a book. It is called Lore, L-O-R-E. Mm. The main character's name is Lore. I'll read you a bit of the summary. I pulled it up because you're going to be like, Every 7 years, the Aegon begins. As punishment for a past rebellion, 9 Greek gods are forced to walk the earth as mortals, hunted by the descendants of ancient bloodlines, demigods, all eager to kill a god and seize their divine power and immortality. Long ago, Lore Perseus fled that brutal world in the wake of her family's sadistic murder by a rival line, turning her back on the hunt's promise of eternal glory. For years, she's pushed away any thought of revenge against the man, who's now a god, responsible for their deaths. Basically, she ends up participating in the Aegon. She's the last of the Perseus line, etc., etc. But like, if you kill the god, you become the god. So it's like the power of the gods is handed down every 9 years, and only a few of them are the original. Like,
wow,
Athena, Zeus, whatever.
That's interesting.
Very interesting book. It's kind of a similar concept, but with higher stakes. Similarly, not that interesting of a main character.
No.
And it's also a standalone. So if you want a shorter version of this, that's a little more bloody, Lore.
Yeah. It's hard because there's so many Greek god books. I mean, Percy Jackson's just obvious. Like, if you're interested in a YA version of this book, that's that book. I will say, if you want a primer to kind of some of the Greek gods and their interactions from a perspective of a character that is kind of overlooked, Circe is a great book by Madeline Miller. And I think her outsider's opinion, while also kind of being an insider into Greek lore, gives her an interesting perspective of the gods and goddesses and their battles and their offspring in particular. And I think it's a very good retelling of Lore from a female's perspective, because Lord knows we've gotten so many men's perspective on the pillaging and raping of women.
Yeah. My favorite Charles book is still The Serpent and the Wings of Night. So great god lore and brutal trials. But I also did want to give a shout out to Medusa's Sisters, just because I feel like that's a book that really takes the complexity of the lore of the Greek gods in stride and makes a really interesting, complicated, and like heartbreaking novel that kind of instead of like watering down the lore and being like, no, they're all normal, she really like took it as a challenge to write a book that displayed them in their full complexity. So yeah, those are my two recommendations.
Guys, you can always trust us to have trials in Greek god Rex.
Of course. All we read sometimes.
Yes. All right. Well, at Busy Girls Pod, if you want to send us any more comments, recommend another book that we read. Once again, let us know what god would be your patron. And we're on YouTube. So if you want to see our faces, now you can.
Yeah, you can see Caitlin's cat enter the frame.
You can watch Catherine's violent reactions to things Casey says.
Casey continues to shock me with her bluntness and savagery.
Okay, well, with that, I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.